What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 266 of the PS4 Blogcast. I'm JCM. With us this week is Isley.
Yo.
And Messiah.
Hello.
And here we are. Been off for a couple weeks. Scheduling issues for most of me, the people out of town, other people busy, stuff like that, and then other things going on. But we are back. We've had a lot of game releases since we've been gone. Shadow of War came out. We also had The Evil Within 2 and South Park The Fractured But Whole came out this week. I have played none of them, but I hear good things about each.
I know you've been playing. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I know you've been playing Evil Within 2, right? You finished it easily?
I did.
Yeah, I figured.
You finished it already?
I did. Yeah, I played a shit ton of it.
I assume from that message you sent on Discord about the ultimate cinematic mode, the black bars, it's because
oh my god, there's someone like pounding on the pipes or something near my apartment, and I can just hear them. Anyways,
spooky.
I did play Evil Within 2, and I really liked it. I'm trying to think of how to even talk about this without spoiling anything.
Yeah,
it reminds me, the format of it reminds me a shit ton of Silent Hill.
I guess that's good. I never played any of the Silent Hill games, so.
It's quite good. It's got kind of that city setup where it's a bit more open world than the first game.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Which works really well for this. The game kind of follows a similar format, though, of like all horror games, where the first half is pretty scary, and then the second half is just kind of like not Actually. Because you get so much power, which, you know, was fine in this context. The story was way better than I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
I was expecting the story to kind of suck since I played the first game. I thought the story was ridiculous. I didn't like the story in the first game. Like, it was okay for a horror game, but it wasn't what I would consider like good in any way. But they really kind of fixed that up in this one.
I like the stories for some, like a more like an evil Inception.
It was okay. It was an evil Inception, sure, but it wasn't like, you know, I didn't really give a shit about anything that was happening in that game. It was kind of like an interesting world that I couldn't give two flying fucks about.
I think the reason it got a little because it had, you know, the Mobius group and everything, like having that kind of evil agency kind of thing going on, didn't make it quite as nuts. But the whole idea that the worlds are based off the, or at least the places you go are based off the traumas from the people that are in the system and everything like that, I like that idea. It was pretty good. I thought that was good. I liked when you found out more about Ruvik and everything, and then seeing it, like, I thought it was interesting, but it was the Mobius group guys that was just like, all right, evil corporation, you're like the umbrella of this world.
I definitely need to go back and play the first one again, because I don't remember jack shit that happened, and so much stuff happens in this game that references the first game, and I was sitting there like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, the first one was basically just Ruvik loses his sister in the fire when they were kids because the barn burns down. She saves him, and he's obsessed with seeing her again, so he designs the, what do they call a machine?
I can't remember
the name, but the machine that they use to tap into memories, and Mobius funds him.
The Animus.
Basically. Yeah. the Inception briefcase. And so Mobius funds him to do his research, and he ends up finding a breakthrough, but what he wants to do with it, like just to see his sister again, they have different ideas, so they kill him. But he made it to where they can only use his brain for the machine, so they take his brain and put it in it. And then of course you get they have the amplifier that allows it to affect the boost the signal out, so you don't have to be jacked in necessarily to experience the effects to be sucked into the machine. That's how you get pulled into it when you first when Sebastian first goes to town, and they get those headaches because they come within range of the Wi-Fi hotspot. And then and then Ruvik ends up getting them into the machine. But yeah, and then he escapes by absorbing Emily. Emily, that's his name, right? What's a kid's name? He's the only person in the game that went in and out of the machine. And
the first one? I don't remember.
Yeah, I keep wanting to say.
I played the first game right when it came out and like didn't touch it at all after that.
Well, there's that one character, I don't know if you remember, where he's in the straitjacket and he's like crazy. He's like a young kid and there's a doctor that's always trying to take care of him, but the kid's crazy and Ruvik always communicates through him. And then at the end of it, when you go to destroy Ruvik, he absorbs that guy, his consciousness, essentially into him. And then that's how he escapes the machine, because now his consciousness is in him his body. I wish I could remember the character's name, but he was like a mental patient. And then that's how he escapes, because then at the end of the game, you see that character, and then Sebastian gets one of those headaches like he does when the Wi-Fi signal from the machine is boosted. But yeah, so that was there. Plus, you know, you lost your wife or your family. That character did anyways, but and you find out more stuff about that. But and then the woman, I forget her name, she's working for Mobius, the one who pretends to be your partner or your a rookie partner, but surely she's working for Mobius because they want to capture
Kidman.
Yeah, that's her name. They want to capture I think they want to get Ruvik, and so she has to go in there to go get him. But they give her a serum in the DLC. They give her a serum so that she can't be affected by his like mind control, I guess, while she's in the Animus or Inception box.
But it really is like that. I mean, come on.
Yeah,
it's basically an Animus.
Yeah, but Animus Inception kind of thing. But because all the worlds are based off the bad memory, the traumatic memories of everybody that's hooked up to it. Yeah, she ends up turning against Mobius and goes against their plans, and they try to stop her, but she gets away. But anyways, yeah, I look
good
forward to
good summary of the first game, of which I remember almost none of that.
But yeah, it was definitely look forward to playing. And once I finish Divinity, I'll that'll be the first game I probably go back into.
You're not going to finish that for years. Game is long, man.
Yeah, but it's like if you do all the side stuff, and I haven't done every bit of side things, and I'm moving quite far along. Like I mistakenly went to the final zone before I went to the third zone, and I started doing a bunch of quests there. I was wondering, I was like, man, all of a sudden all the enemies got like a level or two higher than I am. I mean, I can still do these fights, but it's so weird that suddenly they jumped up so high. But because there's not that many main quests in each of the zones, and they don't really take that long. It's just, I would have been done already, I just haven't been able to play it for the past 2 weeks. But hopefully, if I can finish it before Wolfenstein comes out, I'll probably play Evil Within before Wolfenstein. Otherwise, if I don't finish it by Friday, then I'm playing Wolfenstein first, and then I'll play Evil Within. And then Assassin's Creed. Because I saw that IGN put out a video. It was like the 9 changes they made to Assassin's Creed Origins, and it makes it seem very much like a third-person Far Cry, with the leveling, the combat, the way you use the eagle in that for eagle vision is just like the owl in Far Cry Primal. We've talked about that before, but just everything about it, the leveling up and leveling up skills to take down, like to be better at sneaking or attacking, like it's very much Far Cry now, just third person in Assassin's Creed. And so I'm like, that's awesome. And the world is very much like Horizon Zero Dawn, where it's like it's open and there's just stuff to do. So I'm like, this it just feels like they went way more Far Cry, and I like that a lot because I love the Far Cry games. And I'm like, wow, I am super excited for this game now. But
honestly, the new Assassin's Creed has me more excited than any Assassin's Creed I can remember in recent history.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was never like, aside from maybe when they announced Brotherhood, when I went, because back then I went back and I replayed 2, and then I played Brotherhood, and then before Revelations I replayed 2 and Brotherhood. Like I never replay big games like that, but I just replayed them both before the other games came out. But yeah, because even like, even though I love Black Flag, I wasn't like necessarily going, oh man, I can't wait to play it. But and the same thing with I'm totally blanking on it. The last one.
Words are hard.
The very last one that came out was Syndicate.
Syndicate, yeah, there we go. Like, because I really enjoyed Syndicate. But it, again, that was the same thing. I wasn't going into it like, oh my, man, I can't. Like, I always look forward to playing Assassin's Creed. Because I always have fun. But, yeah, this one, definitely I'm looking forward to, like, all the changes and being in Egypt. I'm like, man, I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah, I'm super excited for, like, the setting, but, I don't know, Unity's ending burned me so bad that I'm just like, it's just a game to play. It's not, I don't care that it's Assassin's Creed. I just want to be in Egypt. I want to use my little eagle. So we'll see if I actually, like it.
Yeah,
I always have fun. I'm just like, I have that Unity burn still, and it's like, I don't want to...
And oh, it's Syndicate, not there in the crypt.
Yeah, Syndicate didn't do much to like alleviate that, so I'm just like, yeah, it'll be fun and it'll be good and I'll probably like his story, but where's the other half of my game?
Yeah.
Like, where's the other half of my story?
Yeah. That'll be interesting to see, but
yeah.
At least it looks like I'll enjoy the past stuff a lot in this one.
Oh yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be gorgeous and it'll be a good game. But yeah. Assassin's Creed is wearing on me.
They're making me sad. Never thought I would hear you say that.
I know, right? I fucking love Assassin's Creed, but I love all of it. I love the whole concept of it, and they're only giving me half of my game, so we'll
see. They've been doing that for a while, though. Like the whole... I assume you're talking about just the fact that like all the future stuff is cut out now.
Yeah, the future stuff was completely absent in Unity, and at the end, where you were expecting this big reveal and at least like something, they were just—it's just a voice at the end that was like, "Up, oh, I guess it's dealt with. We don't have to worry about it. Bye." You're like, "Fucking what? Yeah. Excuse me."
I mean, but the what future stuff hasn't friends? Been like, a major part of it in a long time.
Outside of Unity, it was a part of all of them. I mean, even in Syndicate, it was like full-on cutscenes. Of them.
Yeah, at least in Syndicate it was alleviated a little bit, but not enough to make up for Unity.
I don't know.
Because in Black Flag they handled it really well, and I was really excited because it was like the future stuff was in jeopardy, basically, at the end of 3. Mm-hmm. And in Black Flag it was like hints at stuff, and it was kind of building up, and you still had like the future, and you could learn more about what was going on in the world, and there was really like hope for how they were going to handle it, and it was really cool. And then they did Unity, and it was just like, we forgot about that part of the game. Sorry.
Doesn't Syndicate end where you see Minerva go down the hallway? Like, it has the security camera footage in like a underground like hallway, and you see her walking down.
It, yes, that sounds familiar. I don't know if that was the end of Syndicate. It sounds like it was.
Yeah, because I could swear that was like the end. Like that, the last thing is she's finally, her power is finally restored. Because I was thinking
Black Flag. She could like leave the little computer thing from Black Flag or whatever.
Yeah, because she was still gaining power in Black Flag, and her husband was trying to bring her back.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we'll see. We also had GT Sport came out as well.
To almost no fanfare.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess it has a lot of stuff that was scaled back. I don't know if that's because of the partnership they have or what, but yeah, a lot of people are like it's okay, it's just not as great. But it's, I mean, it's Sport, it's not a numbered sequel, so I guess maybe that's why, but
it's a game.
Yeah. Speaking of games, there's a lot of deals going on right now. You can get like The Witcher Complete Edition for super cheap. I think it's like $20. And you get the complete edition.
Oh shit.
On
PSN?
Yeah.
Oh.
Resident Evil 7's $30, PlayStation Plus. A lot of scary games, PS Plus deals. But Horizon, the DLC, you can get discounted for $15 instead of $20, which the name is under a trademark hold because of some other company that has a game called Frozen Wilds or something on mobile.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Dumb.
Let's see where it is. I didn't open it because I was just like, oh.
I fucking hate trademark bullshit.
I know, right?
Yeah, Horizon. Let's see. Here we go. This is from IGN. Sony's trademark for the Horizon Zero Dawn expansion, The Frozen Wilds, has reportedly been suspended because of a mobile slot machine game. A NeoGAF user discovered the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office's suspension notice, which is reportedly over a month old. In the notice, the Patent Office states that mobile game developer Huge Games filed for a similar trademark before Sony. Huge Games filed a trademark for its mobile slot machine game, Frozen Wild. IGN reached out for Sony for comment, and we'll update the story once they hear back, blah, blah. The Trade Office gave the following reason for the suspension in its notice, quote, if the mark in the referenced applications registers applicant's mark may be refused registration under Section 2D because of a likelihood of confusion with that registered trademark.
Bullshit legal speak. That doesn't make any goddamn sense.
The current suspension doesn't necessarily mean the name will have to be changed, as Sony has the ability to respond and make the case that there won't be confusion between the two trademarks. Which I don't see why there would, because it's Horizon Zero Dawn, the Frozen Lands. Like, it wouldn't be like just called the Frozen Lands. It's in the whole title. It's called that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a mobile game. I don't see why it would, you know, have any.
The full title of the DLC is Horizon Zero Dawn, The Frozen Wilds, or whatever. It's like, only people refer to it just as The Frozen Wilds in the context of, we know what you're talking about because we're talking about Horizon. So, like, nobody's going to come up conversation like just The Frozen Wilds and not have that context.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah, it's silly. But, what else we got? Yeah. Like I said, Witcher's $20, complete edition. The Alien Isolation Collection is $12. That's all the DLC in the main game. Dead Island Definitive Collection is $12. Fortnite's on sale too. The base game is on sale for $24, and then each of the like special edition and collector's editions are all just discounted as well. I was kind of tempted to pick it up. I was like, man, $24. That's like, that's pretty low. Like, I feel like, get the Battle Royale DLC for free.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only reason that people are playing it now, right?
Right, yeah. It's like, I kind of almost could do that. So then I started watching a bunch of Battle Royale Fortnite streams last night on Twitch. I'm like, damn it. Like, because I'm way more interested in PUBG, because way more my aesthetic and the way they do stuff in the game, I just like way more.
Mm-hmm.
But I was watching, I was like, man, I could kind of see getting Fortnite just for this. I wish PSN had the Steam thing where I could play it for 2 hours to see if I like it. Because I would to give it a try, like, see, yeah, it's good, and be like, yeah, refund. I mean, I guess if they have a Mac version, I could do that, I suppose, off Steam. But then I wouldn't. I'd rather, like, go in there, try it with, like, people I know. Not just do solo, but let's see. Devil May Cry 4 Demon Hunter bundles $18. DMC Definitive Edition is $12. And then a lot of other stuff discounted as well. Some things discounted I can't see because I already own them, so I'm browsing on the store, I'm not browsing on a web browser. But yeah, a lot of discounts for scary stuff. And then other bits of news, the FF15 multiplayer expansion got delayed. It'll now be sometime next month.
To nobody's surprise.
Yeah, when I saw it, I was like, well, we figured that was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was more surprised that it was actually coming out.
Yeah, like, they were like, oh, we finished the beta. It's coming out in a month. Bruce was like, what?
Yeah. We'll see what happens. Izzy's playing Shadow Mordor Game of the Year Edition.
Yeah, yeah. Trying to get the trophies.
Yeah.
Michael hated that game.
Why?
He just thought it was such bullshit. He just hated it. I was like, okay. Why? I'm going to play it, I guess. Because he's not good at video games, and he gets really mad when the game doesn't work the way he wants it to. So, like, he just didn't get very good. He didn't even get the combat very well. And so
it's the same as, like, Batman.
He never played it, but I tried to explain it like Assassin's Creed, but he hasn't played an Assassin's Creed game since 2. So he got really, really frustrated at the combat, and then he would be fighting a captain, and another one would show up, and he would just, like, scream and yell at it that it was such bullshit, and then he just stopped playing. I was like, okay, whatever. I'm gonna go buy you Horizon, so you shut up.
Which is a shame, because that game fucking kicks ass with this game, rather. Like, it's so good.
I was really gonna play it because I wanted to play the new one, and then they were like, hey, Shelob's in the new one. I was like, well, my desire to play is kind of dwindled a little, but I'll probably still play it.
Did you didn't play the first one at all?
No, I was watching him play it, and then he didn't finish it, and I was like, well, I want to know what happens. I've been paying attention to the story. Every time there's a cutscene, all you do is bitch. I'm trying to pay attention.
That's funny.
Poor Zaya.
I just think it's really funny how much he hated it, but I found him a new game to play, so it's okay.
There's also a trailer for the two bits of DLC that are coming out for Resident Evil 7, the Not Another Hero and the End of Zoe DLC that are going to come out on December 12th.
Are those the story DLCs?
Yeah, the Not Another Hero is the story DLC, and then apparently End of Zoe, which I guess I must have missed when they announced that, because I thought the Not Another Hero was the last bit of DLC that wasn't going to be, you know, a mini game or a small thing like the previous ones, but I guess End of Zoe must have got added at some point. But that looks interesting. But yeah, the Chris stuff looks like it should be pretty good. Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing that in December. Let's see. Of course, both will be coming with the Biohazard or the Resident Evil 7 Gold Edition. And apparently the Not a Hero DLC will be free to download for all players, but the End of Zoe add-on will cost, has to be purchased separately. That'll be $15.
How much is it?
15 for the End of Zoe. But yeah, it looks good. Look forward to that. Also got details on the Battlefield 1 Turning Tides expansion, which is in December. It's going to have 4 new maps, new game mode, and I think 7 new weapons. A lot of the weapons look pretty good. It's funny, they have all the YouTubers that play Battlefield put up the videos of them playing on 2 maps. The 2 maps are super early alpha, so they don't have any skins. So the map is just like a graph as the skin. So there's no textures. It looks really funny.
What?
But they can at least run around, see what it looks like, and use the weapons. But yeah, a lot of... They also did some changes to it that's in the CTE right now, like not being able to spawn on dead teammates, which is good, so I'm glad they're going to patch that in. Because I could always get frustrated on either end. So that looks like it's going to be fixed. And then... Yeah, a lot of the new guns look pretty good. But the other big news we had this week was EA closing Visceral.
Boo.
And shifting the Star Wars game.
Boo.
Yeah, it was like
so many weird feelings about that. Like, first of all, I'm amazed they closed Visceral right after hiring Amy Hennig. I'm also concerned of, like, what the fuck is she going to do now? I don't know. That was just so weird.
Yeah, it was like everybody, every podcast I listened to that week, this week was like, because it broke on Kind of Funny Games Daily, so it was on their podcast, and then like every podcast I listened to, it was like back to back. It was like just hearing everybody complain and be upset, and it's like collectively across the board, everybody's like didn't see it coming and think it's ridiculous.
Yep.
But yeah, it's crazy.
they're taking this like amazing single player Star Wars game that they were working on and turning it into a games as a service bullshit. Like, why the fuck do you hate Star Wars, EA?
Yeah.
I think I'm more sad that it just means we'll probably never get another Dead Space.
We will, but it'll be games as a service.
It'll be it'll be Dead Space in Destiny style.
It'll be Battlefront 2, but skinned with Dead Space.
Probably.
You explore the Blood Moons.
Yeah.
They're about to get to Earth. You gotta defend it.
EA's dumb. That's the moral of that story.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. See what happens. I'll be interested to see where Amy goes next. I mean, hasn't shipped anything since Uncharted 3, 2011. So it's like, you know, I'm curious. I want to know what her next game is going to be. But
I kind of imagine she's probably going to either start an indie studio or, like, I think she's just in some way going to go off and kind of do her own thing.
Yeah, maybe. But, I mean, she's not really, like, involved on the tech side of things, though, right? Because I'd assume, like, most people that do, who go start their own things, like, they're very familiar with the tech side of games development.
Not particularly, but I just can't imagine her after... It seems like she's gone through a lot of bullshit lately.
Mm-hmm.
Can't imagine her wanting to go to another big studio after this.
Yeah, who knows?
Because we still don't know exactly why she left Naughty Dog. Correct? I don't think they ever really...
They never talked about it, but what's his name? I want to say Jason Schreier or someone. They wrote a book, and like there was a small section in it about... It's like all about games development, and there's apparently some small segment about the Naughty Dog situation, but I don't know how many pages it is and how much information it has. I know people have referenced it in podcasts, especially this week, about it, but I don't know how much info, and I don't know if they're like just not saying all of it to make you go and buy the book. Maybe I'll just have to go like to the library and find it and just read that section or something, but I can't imagine there's too much info in it, because if there was, most, I'd assume at least one of the places I listen, or one of the podcasts I listen to, would have talked about it. But if there's anything substantial, but I don't know. But yeah, it sucks. A lot of people there. Hopefully, they'll either be able to find, you know, usually when the big studio gets shut down, all the other studios are always like, oh, hey, you know, we're hiring. You know, come talk to us, whatever, and usually they can find, I'd assume most of them can usually find a job, but you know, then you gotta relocate your family.
Yeah.
It's a pain in the ass.
What's kind of crazy about this is I'd forgotten she was making a Star Wars game since it got so little fanfare. Like, they hadn't really talked about it a lot lately. I totally forgot it was actually happening.
Yeah, I think it was like a D23 or something where they talked about it to Star Wars game, and they showed like that small clip. And she was in there talking because they were interviewing people, and she was one of the people that was on the, like, that reel of interviews.
It was still in, like, super early development when they mentioned it, I guess, and then it just kind of, like, went away because they weren't really trying to hype it up. They were just like, hey, this is coming out. It looks really cool. We're going to go ahead and, like, just work on it for a little while, but...
Yeah.
I imagine EA was like, where's all the microtransactions and where's all this and that? And they were like, not, because it's a single player game.
Yeah.
I'm just bitter. Don't mind me.
No, you liked Star Wars.
I love Star Wars, and I'm still bitter about the fact that 1313 was canceled.
Yeah, that game looked badass.
I'll always be bitter about it.
I don't know. I don't think I've played a good Star Wars game since, like, oh, fuck. The N64 ones.
Right? Because they keep canceling them all.
Like, I never played the MMO, which I heard was quite good. But other than that, like, I don't think I've played one since, like, one that I really liked since Nintendo 64.
Shadows of the Empire. Yeah.
Well, Shadows of the Empire and the Rogue One game. I like that one a lot, the N64.
Rogue Squadron?
Yeah, that one.
Rogue One. They were super ahead of time. This is going to be a movie later. I played the episode 1 on PlayStation 1 a ton. Just because it was fun, because every Jedi had different powers. I used to play that all the time.
The Bounty Hunter games on PS2 were really good.
Yeah, it's...
But it's been a while if the last good game I can remember was on PS2, so...
Yeah, well, we still have the... See how the story of Battlefront goes. They've had a bunch of... That's another thing, too, where they've had not only the Battlefield 1 multiple expansion previews, but a lot of those same people that play Battlefield and Battlefront have been posting, like, the first hour and a half of the campaign or whatever, which I've just been ignoring because I'm like, well, if it's a good campaign... then I'll get the game to play the campaign, but we'll see how that goes. But I've heard nothing but good things, so hopefully the campaign that one turns out well.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it's existent.
Right, right before, what, November 7th, when's it coming out? I don't remember. And like, no, we gotta cancel this.
You just put it this way, I wouldn't be surprised if they pulled some shit like that. Like,
yeah, but they've already
I don't expect it, but if that was the news that came out, I certainly wouldn't be surprised.
No, they've already got a multiplayer component to Battlefront 2 that they can use loot boxes with and everything, so they've already got it down there. They don't have to worry about it.
They've already got the microtransactions built in.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, pretty much.
Man, so they had that other hoopla that happened like immediately, and then Activision cleared up, was that patent from like a ways back? About matchmaking.
Oh, yeah.
If you saw that one. But when I saw that, I was like, you know what? That's actually, as a business move, I was like, that's really smart. But it's bad for matchmaking.
What was the concern? I didn't see that.
So the patent was that it was a matchmaking system that would match up lower level players with players that had like better gear or items that were purchasable to kind of make the lower end player see this higher player, you know, maybe dominate with a sniper rifle or something. And then they go, man, I got to get that gun. So then they're incentivized to buy that gun off the marketplace. And it's really smart because you see that behavior everywhere else. Like if you look at any of the Freddie Wong videos from like years back when people send him like Q&A, it's always like, what programs do you use to edit? What do you use for special effects? What kind of stuff do you use for this? And he's always like, well, this is what I use, but you don't need these really expensive things to get these special effects or to do this to make videos. And it happens a lot like in the, you know, StarCraft players or any PC streamer. It's always like, hey, what keyboard do you use? What microphone do you use to record? Like what programs do you use? Like the consumers are always interested in what the person is using so they can get the same stuff because they want to be able to do the same kind of quality either content or gameplay as that person. Like, oh, you know, you got that Corsair, whatever, you know, I got to get that keyboard, you know. So you see that behavior in the fan base of these other things all the time. So to have them sort of create a matchmaking system for it was interesting. I think it's dumb because the gear doesn't make you better. Like,
it's a dumb state of mind for a consumer to have. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't matter what keyboard you have. Get right, better. Yeah.
It's like, just get good. That's like, I follow a subreddit for my style of car, the 86. So it's like BRZ people's FRS Toyota 86s. And there's one guy in there. He's like, what's the first, he's like, I just got this car. What's the first mod I should do? And one of the guys, like the top comment was like, go to the racetrack. Because the best mod you can do to your car is to be a better driver.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it doesn't matter if you put wheels on it, brakes, you know, exhaust, doesn't matter. If you want performance, you have to be a better driver. And yeah. It's like, that's so true. And, but yeah, because there's things in like Battlefield 1 where you can buy, and they did this in 3. They introduced it in Battlefield 3 way later. But in 4, it was there pretty early on. And in Battlefield 1, it was there early on. Where you can buy like the sniper kit. And it just unlocks everything that the sniper could use, base-wise, not the stuff that came out for the DLC later that you have to do assignments to unlock. But like, it just gave you every gun the sniper can use. That way you didn't have to level, you can just get it. Let's say you didn't have time. It's like, I could see if someone didn't have time and they really wanted to do that, okay. But that's not going to make them, if some newbie came in and you give him some later gun, it's not going to make them a better player. Because it's not like traditional... Because I guess people have that mindset of like it's some old school shooter where like the best gun, like the better the guns, the higher damage they have. And like you always start with the shit and then at the end you get the homing rocket launcher or something. Mm-hmm. Like they're nowadays in competitive shooters, all the guns are pretty balanced equally. So there's pros and cons to each one. Like ones that are great for CQB, ones that are great for long range, yada, yada, this and that. And there's always going to be guns that, when they go head to head, might be like, oh, well, that gun took me out because it has a higher rate of fire. This one has slower ones, and I missed some shots. So having a better gun in those situations doesn't necessarily matter. It's just as long as you can use something. That was like always annoyed me in Battlefield 4 because I basically had one gun I liked, and I used it all the time. And then my cousin and a friend of mine were always talking about, oh, man, they're like, got to get that sniper rifle because it's so good. And yada, like they're looking at this meta that doesn't matter, and just mm-hmm. these players that are either streamers or whatever, they're like, oh, I really like this sniper rifle because of this and that and this and that. And it's like these certain stats, like, yeah, sure, maybe on a chart it might look like it could be slightly better, but it's just use what you like. It's like the one I was using that wasn't even necessarily like the best gun. It was just the gun I loved using and I was really good with it. So,
yeah, and like, it has everything to do with your style of play, too. Like, if you're not good at sniping, you're not going to like the good sniper rifle. You're not going to be as good with it as somebody who likes and is good at sniping.
Right, yeah, it's just like...
Yeah, like, exactly. You know, like, use what you're comfortable with.
You know, the AK-74M has got much higher rate of fire and DPS than the AC-10 you're using or whatever, blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, but I've won one-on-one face-offs. And because I'm a better player than the person I'm fighting against, I tear them apart. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no like real, like... Yeah, there's no noob tube.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so that's, like, in competitive things, it's just silly. But I saw that, and I was like, I wonder if that would really work, though. And, like I feel like for the younger gamers, it probably would. But, and then they clarified they've never used it in any other system. It was just something they went on patent. Because, I mean, patents, that's the thing, too. It's like... So many people patent tons of stuff all the time. And then, we see it with Sony, like these crazy controller, like split apart controller designs and all this stuff. But they're old patents. Microsoft does it too. Like they have they do this thing where every time their employee gets a patent, they give them like these little cubes. And that's something that Bernie and Gus are always talking about when they go and visit Microsoft or some. Part of them, they'd see these guys at their desk with just a ton of these cubes because there's a bunch of things that they've patented. And it's not even necessarily that they use them. They just, you come up with the idea, I'm going to patent this real quick.
Yeah, do it before somebody else does because it might get used at some point in the future, but...
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was just a really weird one. What have you been playing recently, Si?
Don't lie.
I mean, nothing really. Playing this really dumb anime MMO because I miss dumb anime MMOs.
That's why
I saw you tweeting about it.
Yeah, because I was like, I haven't played one in a really long time, and I had a really bad couple weeks, so I was like, I kind of just want to play something dumb and by myself. So
that's I saw you playing that on Discord, and I looked it up. I looked up images, and I was just like, what the fuck is this?
It's adorable, and it's actually kind of fun, but it's like, it's just a theme park anime MMO. It's nothing like spectacular or anything. It's just cute and fun, but that's pretty much what I've been spending my time doing, because it's relaxing. You just like point and click, kill things.
But I just Michael's couldn't stop laughing.
Michael's been playing Just Cause 3. Because I needed him to shut up about not having a game to play. And holy shit, why is the frame rate still so fucking bad in Just Cause 3?
Yeah,
did they fix that?
No, they never gave like a pro patch or anything.
And oh my god, it's really bad. Even the boost mode
doesn't fully help, but they never optimized it.
He blows up like a single fuel tank and the frame rate drops to like 20. God help you if you blow up more than one thing or there's more than five people on the screen. Like, holy shit.
Yeah, I know the boost mode on the Pro makes it much more steady, but they never did a proper patch, which is kind of frustrating, because that's something I downloaded because it was PlayStation Plus or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wouldn't mind running around just blowing shit up in this game, but I want it to perform better.
That's like the fun part of the game, is just running around and blowing shit up and causing mayhem, but it's like, when you do, it destroys your PlayStation. Like,
isn't that pretty much the point of the game?
Yeah. The fun part and the point of the game, like, makes the game run terribly. And sometimes it'll just drop for no reason.
That happens.
But he's having fun with it, so oh well.
As long as he's having fun, I guess.
Yeah, we just have to listen to him bitch every time the frame rate drops. And then he played it like all day one day, and at the end of the day he was like, I'm really tired of this game. It's like, you played it all fucking day. What do you want? Like, get up and stretch. I don't know what to tell you.
And then he went back and immediately played it the next day?
Pretty much, yeah. He's probably gonna play it all day today again. Whatever, he just needs something to tide him over until Assassin's Creed comes out and the Horizon DLC.
Yeah. It'd be a good one. But and then you've just been playing, you play Devil's Den. Do you play South Park or anything, or start that?
No. I'm not gonna get South Park. That's not my type of humor. I actually don't like the South Park games.
Oh. Well then, I won't talk about them with you when I start playing it.
Well then, fine. Be that way. Sour grapes.
Yeah.
No, I know, I understand they're good games and shit. They just, they don't appeal to me at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a ton of friends that love them. I super do not care about those games.
Well, all right. I won't dig into it anymore.
Oh, you can play them. You can play them and talk about them.
It's okay. I didn't know it was a sore subject. I'll just leave it there.
I'll just silently judge you.
No, it's fine. I don't care about your judgment.
But it's a game where you attack people by farting on them.
You don't just fart in that game.
Yeah, what's not to love about that?
It's your special magic ability you did.
Oh my god, you two both.
There's a collectible for pooping in all the toilets.
That was pretty funny. Yeah, I look forward to playing it eventually. But it's like, because I'm playing Divinity, it's like, I don't know if I want to jump into an RPG right away.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's like RPG light, but I'll probably
Did they add like a tactical part of the game, or was that in the first game where like
they added,
you have to move to different parts of the battlefield?
The grid system was added in this one.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, that wasn't in the first game, right? But I don't know, maybe I just didn't pay attention when they were like, oh.
No, the first one just had that like Final Fantasy front and back line kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, this has a different, like a grid thing going on.
They added like a tactics grid to it where you have to move, and attacks have like ranges and stuff like that now.
Yeah. I always liked using the Roman candles. I was always fun because I'd always be like use the mage characters and mm-hmm. just shoot fireworks at the other people.
Yeah.
That was always fun. But, I'm just hoping to finish up Divinity Original Sin. I had an instance the other day where I actually had I screwed myself over on a quest where the game doesn't close quest lines if NPCs are dead. It just leaves them open.
Oh, that sucks.
So I had a quest where a woman said her husband died in the mines, and that this one dude named Lawrence was responsible, who's the head of the mining guild, I guess, in this town, whatever. And he goes, he knew they would get sick, blah, 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 but there's no evidence. You have to have an evidence of it. So then later I find an NPC, I forget how, I helped him on a quest, and he gave me a letter that he had from Lawrence saying that he knew that the mineral that people were mining was poisonous, and long exposure to it would cause rot, and then they'd end up dying. So then I give it to her, and she confronts him, and then she goes to the town, starts yelling that the guy's killing all the miners, and he knows that they're dying, and blah, blah. And so then I have the option to be like, let him die or let him live. And I'm like, well, this guy's kind of an asshole, so I'll just let the town people kill him. So then they kill him. And then I had another quest from earlier where he was looking for, like, a goblin. And I totally forgot about it, that he was the quest giver. Mm. And I find the goblin later. Free it. Goblin's pissed off, though, and he fights me. And I kill him. His head falls as a key item. And it's like, oh, you can give this to Lawrence. He'll probably be a little disappointed. And I'm like, Lawrence is dead. I can't give him anything. And I'm like, so. But luckily, the way the quest structure, the XP and quest structures work in that game is really nice, because it's like, oh, you look up a quest online. It's like, oh, this quest, it gives you 60,000 XP. It's like, oh, that seems like a lot. But it's not like a traditional RPG where you do everything and then you turn in the quest, and then when you turn in, you get 60,000. It's because of all the fights you have to do as part of the quest, it counts those as the XP total.
Oh.
Because enemies don't respawn in Divinity Original Sin. It's like they're one and done. That's how they can kind of control the progression for the player character. So luckily, it's like the XP total for that quest was the initial discovery of the goblin, the XP I got from killing him, plus all of his friends, and then so the only XP I didn't get was just the turn in XP, which usually is just a couple thousand. So mm-hmm. while I lose a bit, I didn't lose 100% of the XP, just like 10%. So I really like the way they do that. But at first I didn't realize that was the case whenever I was trying to, like, you know, oh, I want to figure out how to do the side quest, because if I don't do them right away and I wait too long, I kind of get lost on what I was supposed to do, because I'm not super descriptive in the journal for the quests, mm-hmm. unless you've already found all the relevant information. So I'm like, because it's like, especially if they go, yeah, you should go talk to so-and-so down at the harbor, they'll know it. They don't always put that in the log, like, oh, go talk to John Smith down at the docks. But then the quests online will tell you, oh, you have to go talk to this NPC. So I'll look it up there, and when it would tell me, oh, the XP's super high, I didn't realize it was because of the fighting stuff. So now it's nice to know if the XP is only 8,000, it's probably just a fetch quest or something small that I'll clear over time that there's no mm-hmm. fighting. But if there's one that's like 40,000, it's like, okay, I got to fight some. But I did have one quest glitch out on me where, because I completed it differently than the game wanted me to, it glitched out this NPC I had to talk to. But it was fine, because at least in the area I went to, I fought Rafflesia and then another boss, so I got a bunch of XP in the area. But I couldn't continue talking to an NPC because it glitched on me, and apparently it was in the base game too and they didn't fix it. But
that sucks.
That's fine. I'll be able to make it. Yeah, I'm hoping to finish that. Probably won't get too much in today. I gotta try to do laundry, but everybody's doing laundry.
Mm-hmm.
And then I gotta cook some food, but...
Laundry's overrated. You should just be stinky and dirty.
I want
clean just clothes. Go buy new clothes.
Yeah. Just go buy all new clothes.
Be like
you only wear, like, one pair of pants and one t-shirt anyway.
Yeah. They're all the same color.
Your clothes come in packages.
Yeah, exactly. My clothes come four to a pack.
That's so evil.
Plus one.
That's okay. Michael's does too. He wears gym clothes. I had to make him buy a pair of pants when we went to San Francisco, and then it was hot in San Francisco anyway, so that was a bummer. But all he wears is fucking gym shorts and t-shirts that come out of packages.
I like my comfy t-shirts that come out of packages. I get the premium ones. Nice. But
can't you be like normal people and wear normal clothes?
I mean, they're normal clothes. I have clothes that came out of a package, but
what's wrong with jeans and Fruit of the Loom t-shirts?
Is that what you wear?
Don't wear it 7 days a week.
Well, I wear jeans.
You wear Fruit of the Loom t-shirts 7 days a week.
No, this one's not Fruit of the Loom. This one, I can't see it because I got to turn it around because it's got one of those. It's tagless.
Oh, yeah.
This one here. Let's see. What is this one? This one is... I can't...
It's just
this one is Fruit of the Loom. I'm at the end of my my laundry. All my premium shirts are in the laundry.
So just buy all your shirts from the Yeti. They got good Yeti.
That'd be acceptable. Just do that.
They have great shirts. All the shirts I've gotten for them are super comfortable.
Yeah, I just, the problem I have with shirts is that
I feel like this is going to be a Seinfeld sketch.
All my headless shirts.
The sleeve length isn't the same on all sizes on every brand.
Yeah.
And that's the problem I have, because I wear small t-shirts because for some reason in this country, like soda cups at restaurants, mediums are fucking huge.
Mm-hmm.
So I wear small, but there are some brands, if I get them small, the length of the sleeve is fucking way short. So it's like I might as well just be wearing like a tank top, because it's like, okay, this is ridiculous. But
that's,
so that's
how
why I
girl cut shirts are.
Yeah. So that's why I buy the one specific brand from, there's one brand from Target that has a, they sell a premium shirt that has.
Fruit
Loom. No, it's not Fruit Loom. It's probably Hanes or something. I don't know. It's like a premium version from one of the, like Hanes or some brands like that. But it has long sleeves on it for a small shirt. Plus the material that they're made out of is, sometimes I buy some that are a little thinner material for the hot weather. But yeah, because I fucking hate when I buy shirts that are just got the short ass sleeves on them.
I know, I hate that. It's like most girl shirts have like the doll or cap sleeves. It's like, stop, just make a tank top, make my fucking sleeve. So all the shirts I buy from the Yeti now, I just buy like the unisex one or whatever in like the smallest size that they carry. And the sleeves on those are pretty good. They're kind of like the length that I like for sleeves, so.
Yeah. But. All right, we need a secret word before we go. Last time it was CGI.
I always pick Izzy has to pick now.
Not. Caragor.
What?
Caragor.
Nah, that's.
Nobody knows how to spell that.
Monster in this game.
We'll just go monster.
That's not what I said.
It
you
is
wanted
almost
to pick and I picked.
Well,
we didn't like your
Caragor
pick, so we picked for you.
Yeah. So monster will be the secret word.
Almost Halloween. Ooh.
Yeah, it is.
Are you guys dressing up for Halloween?
Nope.
Not to work, no. And if I do dress up for trick-or-treating with the kid, I'll probably just put on, like, a t-shirt that has the costume on or whatever. I'm not going to dress up.
Going really, really thorough there.
You're running out of chances to be Sahelanthropus and Eli with your kid. He's going to be too big soon.
This is true. I gotta, yeah, I gotta do that something. But then I have to put it together. That's so much work. besides, I gotta wait till he's old enough to fake a British accent, right? All right. Secret word monster. There we go. Alrighty, well, that'll wrap it up for this episode. So thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Izzy. Thank you, Zahi, for joining.
Yep.
And we will see you guys next time.
Later.
Bye.